Welcome back, everybody, to episode 108 of Off the Field Podcast. I didn't even tell this to Kat, but both the audio and the video are going to go up on Friday, just to make it easier for me this week.
He wasn't lying.
Yeah, folks. No. I leave for Sacramento tomorrow morning, and I'm driving, and then I'm coming back driving, and I'll get back Thursday. So I'd rather have a lot more time to get the audio and video out to everybody. And not kill myself doing it.
So. Of course, this is a one-man wrecking crew, so we don't want to put too much stress on the man. Yeah. He is running Austin Kleschka on YouTube and OTF, Off the Field Podcast on YouTube.
And which, the Instagrams and all the other
exactly,
socials.
Exactly, which you guys should subscribe to. Hit the follow button.
Yes, sir.
What your Instagram is at?
Austin Kleschka, and yours is?
At Captain America from Softball.
And we post here. Typically.
Typically.
Thursday and Friday. Thursday, you get the audio version on Spotify and Apple. Friday, you get
the YouTube version, video version. You'd get that at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific.
Or you know what? We'll even test the audience a little bit. Do you guys just want all on one day? Do you like it separate days? Let me know.
Let us know in the comments down below.
Yeah. And I want to start this one off kind of emotional. We skipped last week because there was a tragic thing that happened in my life. My grandpa, Steve, passed away. It was a fight of 2 years for him. He had heart surgery, and he was doing everything he could to try and fight back to being able to walk. I mean, he wasn't, like, paralyzed, but his body had taken a lot of damage, and he had to work back from a wheelchair to a walker to all kinds of medical equipment to try and get back to walking, and he fought and fought and fought, which is what he did his whole life, and he passed away last Monday around 4 in the morning, and it hurt real bad the first day. It was a huge hit on me, my mom, my grandma, our entire family, and one of the things I'll miss most about him is he was probably the hardest working person I knew in my whole life. I think I got that from him. He still was working his job until the hospital scare. Man was over 70 years old, did not want to retire, didn't think he needed to retire. And I'm sure if he never went into surgery, never went into the hospital, he wouldn't have retired. He would have still been working. So he had that passion. He had the drive, the determination to provide a good life for himself and a good life for his loved ones. And he succeeded in that, breaking the meter. And I'm going to miss him forever. That's clear and obvious. And I know I may not be breaking down or anything right now, but we've had 2 weeks and the feelings have been felt privately and all that. And I know we are going to have a celebration for him coming up soonish. I know we want friends and family all to be there. Another thing to get on the funnier side of things I remember about him, his never ending love for Mexican food, specifically Miguel's fast food chain. The amount of times he would text me, call me, asking if I want Miguel's on his way home from somewhere. And I'm like, dude, this is the fourth time this week. He didn't care. He loved it. It was his food. He loved this restaurant around here called Mario's. He loved Mexican food. And he would always have it. His endless closet of plaid button-ups. I'm sure you coming over when you would see him. That was the go-to attire for Gramps. And like I said, love and care for family. And there's a lot more things that I won't forget about him that aren't coming to my head right now. His love for, I would say, the Pacific Northwest. He loved Alaska. We went there as a family in 2014. And he always wanted to go back. He was always going to places like Montana, Idaho with my grandma and their Sprinter van. And so I know he loved traveling in the mountainous, cold areas of the country. And so I know we're going to do something probably with his ashes around those areas. But I love you. He knows that. I was able to tell him that before he did pass. And he lived a good life. And that's what makes him more peaceful as well. His life was full. He didn't go tragically or bad in any way. And he did everything he could in his life. He served our country as well, which I'll always respect him for. And yeah, so it's sad, but he lived a very happy life. And that's all I want to say to start that off. So love you, Gramps. And thank you for not only taking care of me and the family, but treating everybody that I brought in to my life, into your life also very well. So yeah, that's all.
That was very beautifully said.
Thank you. We're not very serious very often.
Rarely are we serious here.
Yeah. The people that are tight-knit with me at Dodger Films, we do a lot of joking around. So
a lot. Yeah, a lot.
A lot. And we don't get those moments like that. But, you know, he was a pillar in my life. And so I wanted to take a moment to talk about him. And I also want to take a good chunk right here to talk about our Halos.
That's right, baby.
We had a big week. We swept those damn Dodgers. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's amazing. Love that.
It doesn't happen often.
No, it doesn't. The last time it happened, I believe they said it was 2010.
Yeah. Yeah. So what, 15 years in the making?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a long time.
Mm-hmm. So game one, I was actually there. Mm-hmm. We had Jack Kochanowicz on the mound, aka double play merchant.
I know, dude. Talk about the ground balls this guy was producing.
I think we turned 8 double plays, I'm pretty sure. That's insane.
8? That's like 8 of the 9 innings.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot.
Yeah, it might have been like 5, honestly. But there were a lot in that game. Yeah. I know Mookie grounded into one, Shohei grounded into one, and we're not even talking about the other 7 batters. And what happened? Moncada homered early in the game, and as an Angels fan, getting a lead in the first inning is pretty hard to get excited about. It's fun, but you know as a Halo fan.
Yeah. The first half of that game, you know, you're fine, you're dandy, you're happy. But once you get to that second half, once that starter leaves the game, thoughts go through your head.
Yeah, that's been very strong and true about our team this year. Our starting pitchers have been pretty solid. Like, let's go through them all. Tyler Anderson's been acing. Then we have Jose Soriano, who will either ace or, you know, have like a mid start. Yeah, like, he doesn't really pitch terrible.
Yeah. Kikuchi, I don't know if you noticed, but I feel like his last couple starts, he hasn't really given up a lot of earned runs.
Kikuchi's been better lately.
Lately,
But yeah, how you said, he doesn't give up earned runs. My thoughts on Kikuchi is he either has an okay or good start half the time, and then the other half, he runs into bad luck, which is unearned runs.
Exactly.
And I'm like, dude, this has to be one of the unluckiest guys that has pitched for us. And he just runs get allowed for him in like the dumbest ways, unearned. But yeah, that's how I feel about him. Kochanowicz has been okay, but he's been heating up the past starts.
Did you see that post game interview with after that first game?
After the Dodgers first game?
Yeah, the first game.
No.
Ron Washington said that he's been working with, or maybe the pitching coach has been working with Kochanowicz on working on his changeup, using it more frequently. Good. And so he felt comfortable that day, and obviously that was recipe for obviously a great game.
It was beautiful. And then, you know, we take him out, and the bullpen is usually the dagger that ends up killing us, and we blow the game. Kenley has done it a few times this year. We've seen it from other arms out of the bullpen, but Kenley's last two appearances is shut it down.
Yeah.
He's made sure we secure that win. And that day was a great day to be an Angel fan. That whole series, game two, that one was stressful.
Oh yeah. Cause I just remember a lot of back and forth, and obviously it's the Dodgers. You can really never count
them out. You think their magic's coming at any minute.
Exactly. That's the scary part.
Yeah. 11-9 final score.
I know, it was insane. Such a high scoring game.
And hey, I don't want to hype him up too much because I've fallen for this once, but Matthew Lugo.
I know.
Dude's been great since we called him up. I had the same feeling about Kyron Paris at the beginning of this year. Everybody did. Everybody had their eyes on Kyron Paris. Yeah. Even not Angel fans were hyping him up and like, oh, who's Kyron Paris? Look what you did. You broke him.
I think the spotlight got too bright for him.
Yeah. So I'm hoping this is not something we see again with Matthew Lugo. So far, he's been great. I'm just going to keep it at that. I don't want to hype up too much because we saw what happened with Kyron.
Yeah.
And that game, luckily, our offense was able to fight, which is something we have not seen this season.
I know. Just like what? Not even a month ago, we were looking at like our teams like, can they even hit?
We went on, and we went on a road trip where we didn't even win a game.
Yeah.
So it was like, this season's over, it felt like. But you never know. Like, the 2019 Nationals, dude, they lit it up at the end of the year and ended up winning the whole thing. Not saying that's going to be us, but you never know with baseball. And game three, we were just able to hang on. We had a hot start to the game with Neto and Taylor Ward both hitting homers, and then we were able to hang on in that ninth inning and made sure they didn't beat us. So that completed the sweep, baby, and I love that. I love sweeping the Dodgers. We had this guy, I posted it on my story, this idiot, who we won the game, got the third out, and he goes, "You know you guys are playing our sucky lineup today." And I'm like, "What?" Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman are in that lineup. And if they're in that lineup ever, your lineup is not sucky. I don't care.
Their nickname is MV3.
Literally, yeah.
And
three-time MVP and 2 1-time MVPs.
MVPs nonetheless,
exactly.
Though. But correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this was the third game of the series where Darno hit his first home run as an Angel.
He did.
Obviously grew up in the Southern California area, grew up going to Freeway Series and contributed big time. And, of course, we did get that insurance run at the end. And I remember you telling us in our Angels group chat, who's this guy with this ponytail?
Sean
Anderson, that's right.
Have not heard of him.
And he shut the door.
He struck out Ohtani to end the game.
Yeah. I think he pitched, the last 2 innings?
Yeah, I knew he was new because I was like, oh, when you look like that, I would remember you. And I was like, who's this guy with a mullet running out there? But, yeah, good job. And way to get that series all the way through. Our first sweep of the year. Who would have guessed it would have been on the Dodgers?
In L.A.
In L.A., yeah. Just wait till they come to Anaheim.
I hope this is the series that hopefully turns it around
for us. I hope so. I mean, we won in Oakland to start.
We won in Oakland to start four-game series.
Yep, and they play tonight, and then I'm going tomorrow, and I'll see them, and I'll see Kohanowitz again, double play merchant.
And remind the viewers, who are you attending the game
with? I'll be driving up there with Ty Guy, and then meeting us there, because they live up there, is our other friend Tyler, Ty Girl, and Mario.
Mario, I miss Mario.
Who, if you guys remembered, has stayed at my house. He's actually slept on that couch right there. So,
this one?
Yeah, when he came to visit.
This one where my left hand is touching?
Where your left hand is gripping the couch cushion, yes.
Nice.
Yeah, that one right there.
I miss you, Mario. Come back soon.
Yes, funny enough, right as you said that, Ty Guy just texted me back. I'm trying to figure out plans with him tomorrow because I was like, I'd rather stay at your house because we have to go up and he lives up.
Okay.
And let's see. Yeah, I don't know if I can. That kind of sucks. But that series was amazing. Hopefully when I go up to Sacramento, they will win because it's a long drive and I would hate for them to lose. Yeah. Knock on wood.
This is definitely wood.
Here we go. Oh, that was cork. This is wood. There you go.
Yeah, and you're only going for the day. You're not staying the night. You're not getting there a day early. You're going the morning of and you're coming back. Maybe an hour after the game?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, what else is there to do in Sacramento? There's no reason to stick around.
You can go see the state capitol.
Oh, yeah, I guess. It might be the only time I'd ever go see it.
Go see where the Kings play?
Yeah. Yeah, season's over for them.
I can't think of anything else.
It'll just be a building. If I'm going there to see the Kings, I'm seeing the beam. I want to see them light the beam.
Yeah.
So if there's no season and it's just an empty building, I'm just like, cool.
Yeah.
no reason to go see it. State Capitol, I might, drive by and be like, hey, look. Who knows? We might drive by it going to the stadium.
And maybe not even realize it.
I'm sure we will. Don't they all have a dome with a point on top?
Well, for the most part.
Isn't that all state capitals, I believe? But yeah, we weren't the only ones to sweep on rivalry weekend.
God. So many teams swept.
Giants, Nationals, Cubs, Mariners, Phillies, Reds, all swept over rivalry weekend. Insane. I wouldn't be shocked if that's a record for most sweeps in a series amongst all of MLB. At least like a top five. That's crazy. How many teams? Us? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven teams swept.
Basically almost half the series.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Because you double, you get 14 with the team they played, and then... Well, we got 30 teams in the league, so pretty much.
Yeah, and then one of them was like a 4-game series between Houston and Texas. They split it, so.
Okay.
But, a lot of dominating baseball for one team and then, unfortunate results for the other team.
Thank God we were on the good side of that.
Thank God. Like I said, hopefully we turn it around.
I loved my story when I said, raise your hand if you swept rivalry weekend, knowing no Dodger fan could raise their hand.
I know, man. And you could only imagine Dodger fans going to work on Monday.
Depressed as hell.
Yeah.
It's a mix. I have salty Dodger fans in my comments that are like, oh, shut up. You guys are going nowhere, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. First of all, we beat you 3 in a row. And then I have other ones that are like, ah, you guys were the better team this weekend. Congrats. Like, we can't say anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How do you feel, Dodger fans? I'm going to keep rubbing it in. We swept your ass until the next series, which is in, I'm going to guess, August.
I think it is in August.
Yeah, sounds about right. That's usually when they are. Yeah. They're never this early.
Yeah, I think last year, wasn't it in September?
In July, I think. July and September.
They were here in September in Anaheim. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for our next sweep in 15 years.
Hopefully it's in 2 months or 3 months or whatever. Another big story that came out of rivalry weekend, the Mets and Yankees.
Oh, my God.
Somebody returned to New York for the first time. Who was it?
In the Bronx, specifically, Juan Soto.
Yes. Yeah, Juan Soto returned to Yankee Stadium for the first time. And there were many stories that came out of that weekend.
Oh, my God, so many.
There was him trying to approach Aaron Judge to say, hello, old teammate. And Aaron Judge didn't even look his way. And Juan Soto was like, okay, and went right back to his dugout. And then we had the Bleacher Creatures pull off a very petty move, but I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was hilarious. Great.
Yeah.
They all turned their back on Soto as he ran out to the field for the first time. If I was there, I would have participated. I thought it was hilarious. And a funny move by the Bleacher Creatures. Yankees, I believe, took 2 out of 3.
Right? Yes, Yankees took the first and third game. Mets took the second.
Yeah. Yeah, so that one was all drama over the weekend. Aaron Judge had a good series. Juan Soto, coming out of that series, going over to Fenway. The stories that are being told about him is this guy doesn't hustle. This guy is getting all this money paid to him to barely get a single off of the Green Monster. It's crazy how he's kind of portraying this I'm too cool for school gimmick. And it's like, dude, remember how you came into the league? Fun, flashy, like animated.
Let the kids play. Yeah. It's our turn.
Yeah, now he's just giving me, I honestly don't like it. He's giving me this vibe that like, I'm too cool. I have this contract now. Why do I have to try?
Yeah, yeah. I remember I was looking up the stats after that Subway series. He went 1 for 10 in that series. So obviously, you know, we're about, what, 7 weeks into the season, 8 weeks into the season. Mm-hmm. The Mets got to start picking it up soon. I believe they just lost the lead in the NL East to the Phillies. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, you know, changes got to be made, yep. Obviously, to start hustling more. But, you know, there is that argument where if you want Soto to hustle, you do risk that factor of he could get hurt. I get it. You're paying $765+ million, mm-hmm. but do you want Soto playing good or do you want Soto healthy? You know, mm-hmm. that's something that Mets fans have to realize is that you want him healthy now. Sure, he may not like hustle now, but when it comes to like games in August and September and more than likely in October, yeah. obviously that's where it's going to, you know, put on a performance. So, I mean, it does suck because, you know, nobody's going to remember games in May where like, oh, it could have been the difference now. But, you know, they're going to start focusing more towards games in July, closer to the trade deadline, and then once August, September hits, you know, that's when everybody starts to realize, oh, we don't have a lot of games left. So, yeah, and that single that he hit in Fenway, obviously, you know, it does suck. You know, you obviously want your team to win, and if you saw, he stole second base first pitch after that. So he kind of made up for it in a way. So if you think about it, I mean, he is trying.
I will say, out of all stadiums, a single coming out of a ball off the Green Monster is not rare. Like, that happens quite often.
Yeah.
Because Green Monster's way in because it's super high. Mm-hmm. And there's sometimes where if the perfect ricochet falls to the left fielder, they can gun it to second and turn your double into a single. So I will give them that. It is at a park where a hit like that is pretty typical. And another guy that, you know, you're saying maybe you don't want him to hustle too hard and he'll get injured or something like that. Mike Trout, dude. I want him to stop being injured. We all do. Are there any updates with him? Have you heard anything?
I did see a tweet. I forgot by who. They were saying, I think it was Jeff Fletcher maybe. Trout said he has no more soreness now in his knee.
Okay.
So obviously he's trending healthy, health-wise in the right direction. But it's not really now a question of if now.
Yeah.
You know, if he's going to come back this season, he is. But the question is now when.
Yeah, because I saw him running on the field in San Diego. So I was like, okay, he's out there. He's got his glove. He's doing drills. That's more optimistic than his past injuries we've seen. And speaking of San Diego, bless you. Got one more new or no?
It's fading. It's fading.
Watermelon.
Another one I heard was moo.
I've never heard that one. I've only heard fruits. I've heard pineapple.
Yeah.
What I was saying, San Diego, since we're on that topic, the Fernando Tatis, Austin Kleshka curse is finally over.
At least it didn't last as long as, you know, the Great Bambino curse, you know?
Yeah, thank God. Our franchise kind of feels like it's in a curse right now.
Oh.
The Ohtani curse. But I went by myself because the day my grandpa passed away was the day the Angels made that crazy comeback in the ninth where Taylor Ward hit a grand slam. We scored like six runs in the ninth. And then I was waking up that next day and I was like, damn, my team is in San Diego. I love San Diego. The Padres are my NL team. Why am I not there? And so then I did put out a story asking if anybody wanted to go last minute. I knew it was going to be very difficult to get anybody to go.
Especially during the week, in the middle of the week.
Yeah, and I was like, whatever, I'm going. Bought a ticket. Well, I went all the way out there. Good seat also. The Angels were up pretty much the whole game until, you know, played stupid baseball in like the seventh and eighth inning. And then it came down to Fernando. I literally said before that walk-off at-bat, this is probably Fernando's last at-bat, the at-bat before that one. Because I was like, we're in control. It's the eighth inning. Like, he's not going to get another at-bat. And then, of course, we play stupid baseball. We allow a bunch of batters to come to the plate for the Padres. And it lands perfectly at Tatis in the ninth inning. And I'm like, he's going to do it. This is finally going to be the time where he finally does it against my own team with the exact amount of runners on he needs to walk it off and end the game. And what happens? Boom. Inside pitch. Tanks it to center field. Fernando Tatis walk-off home run. First one I've ever seen. 6 years, 1,920 days, 18 Padre games. On average, 4 at-bats a game for Tatis, equaling 72 at-bats that I have seen with no homers until that game. And he finally freaking did it. So, yeah, it was cool to see. He's one of my favorite players. That's why I've always wanted to see him homer. And I have seen it. It is over. Can cross it off. Bucket list item done. It's about damn time. So now do I got to find somebody else?
So does it have to be a superstar that you want to see?
No, I assume so. No, but I mean, you know, those are the guys you like to see homer. Like my first thought was Ellie. I love Ellie, but I don't know if I've seen him homer. I can't think. They don't come here that often, so.
Do you want to switch to the AL or stick in the
NL? I don't care. I just thought of this right now.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Who's someone?
Ellie came to my head, but I don't know.
Jackson Holliday.
That'd be a cool one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you see, like, Tatis, he was known for it. Like,
okay.
Tatis had a 40-homer year.
Okay.
And Holliday, you know, he's good. Yeah. For sure. But I don't know. I'll think of somebody to do. We don't have to think of it right now at this very moment. But now it feels like there's an empty space that Nando held for so long.
Yeah.
And it's over. And now it feels like it needs to be replaced by somebody new.
When you saw that home run happen, would you say you were more happy or upset?
I definitely didn't want to kill myself as much as I do with other injuries.
Okay.
I mean, look. The Angels have been bad for 10 years.
Right.
And so we're kind of used to this.
We are.
Which sucks. I hate being used to this. I wish I wasn't. And so when it happened, I think the Angel fan in me first was like, no! But then I was also like, it's over. Like, it was like a blissful moment. I was like, he did it. It's finally over. High five, friend. Oh, wait, I didn't come with a friend. Yeah. So
it was a lose-lose situation, and you still found a way to see the positive in it. So,
yeah, you know,
it's pretty rare.
Yeah, yeah. So it feels good that I can finally say it happened. I know there were members of the Kleshka crew that knew that was a moment as well for me, Because I had DMs before I even posted the video on the way home. They're like, he did it. He did it. You said you're there. And I was like, yep, I'm there. I saw it. And it's about damn time. And, you know, I thought maybe there was going to be some extra magic in the air that night. You know, my grandpa had passed away the day before. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to bring his glove to the game. And I've never caught a homer. But I kind of felt like there might have been an energy where, like, something would have came to me. Funny enough, Neto's home run in the first inning. I had been looking at tickets earlier, and I found the reason I went that day also, very cheap. The next day was $40 more.
Oh, I think I saw the reason. Wasn't it like a Star Wars giveaway?
I have no idea.
I think that's what it was. It was like a Star Wars or a bucket hat or something. But
I sat in left field, which is usually the more expensive outfield seat, and I had my eye on one that was front row in left field for like $40.
That is not bad at all.
Yeah, so I was gonna get it, waited too long, somebody snagged it before me, and then I sat three rows back. Not that much of a difference, still a good seat. And we actually, well, let me finish the Neto part of the story. He homered right there in that first row. I don't think it was the same section, but I was like, that's crazy that I almost got a front row ticket and he homered. Literally, like, it would have been, if somebody had a glove right there, easiest catch of their life. But my section is pretty rowdy as the game went on. When I first got there, it was actually pretty nice because it was like this older gentleman, 80 years old, I would say, his son, who was probably like 50, something like that. And then an empty seat, me, and then four empty seats.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, dude, hell yeah. Because obviously if I'm crammed and there's somebody on my right and left and I'm by myself and I'm trying to vlog, it comes off very weird.
It does.
I don't know this person. I don't know this person.
It does.
But since there were empty seats all around me, I felt more comfortable, making it a lot easier to vlog. And for the first two innings, that's how it was. And then these kids came in, probably like college age, and they sat next to me. And oh my God, the kid next to me, funny enough, he knew the videos, so then I felt really comfortable. I was like, oh, well, then you don't care. Like, you're going to be fine with me vlogging.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to all the same schools I went to, elementary, middle, and high school. He was classmates with my younger brother, and he played on the same T-ball team as my younger brother.
That's scary.
I think it's just a coincidence.
It is a coincidence, but yeah. It's a scary coincidence.
It is very strange.
He's kind of like your little brother that you never knew.
But think Mexican. About it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Separated at birth. That'd be okay.
But yeah, so it was really easy to kick it off good with him. And
right.
I was like, all right, cool. That's crazy. And I asked him if he wanted to be in the video to talk about that story. And he was like, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm a little drunk right now. And I'm like, what the problem is? I was like, funnier. But I understand. But his two friends, oh my God. They were annoying me. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I'm not one to go tattle, but
right.
I knew somebody was going to. It was a Padre fan and an Angel fan that were his friends. So like Taylor Ward was playing left field. And the Padre fan, full volume, I apologize. This is about to get vulgar.
Oh, God.
Goes, hey, Ward, suck my dick. And I'm like, dude, like. And it's not me getting annoyed. It's like, dude, there's children here. Like,
right.
Come on. Be an adult. And then it's the Angel fan goes, Ward, I would let you ride my dick.
Right. And I love how you say the first one with so much confidence. Yeah. The second one, pause.
Yeah. I know you guys aren't used to hearing me talk like that. I am just quoting what was said around me. But, yeah, I was like, okay. And then I told the kid, the other guy that, you know, was chill, I was like, hey, man, I'm not one to, like, tattle, but, like, I tell your friends, like, I would chill out because somebody's going to say something.
Yeah, keep it at a minimum.
Yeah. And even when they weren't, like, shouting stuff at the players, they would turn to each other and start, like, going at each other full volume, like there was nobody in the room. They're like, zero rings. Where's Mike Trout? I'm like, okay, dude. And then, like, literally the lady behind them is like, guys, can we, like, chill out? Because it was, like, screaming. And I'm like, dog, okay, yeah, I agree with her. Like, chill. And then security finally came. And who do they tell to get up? Who do you think?
The two.
Well, they picked one of them.
Oh, the Padres fan.
No, the Angel fan. Oh,
of course.
They always take the away person. They never, because they're always like, ah, keep the home person here. But yeah, they took the Angel fan. Dude, chill. I don't know if the homie who watches the videos and everything is listening to this and he can relate it to you, but chill out. You and your Padre fan. Chill.
Yeah, dude. Fans sometimes they don't know when when that limit is or that line is until they cross it.
It was right as they got there, dude. It's not like it built up. And so, yeah, they took him, and then he wasn't told to leave. He came back to the section over, and he was, like, looking around, like, where are they? And he sat in the row, the section over, and they were laughing. They're like, he's over there. What an idiot. And then they're like, no, don't tell him. Don't tell him. Leave him. And so he sat there the whole game.
Jesus.
And they learned their lesson. But another guy, 2-3 rows behind us, got into it with the Padre fan. And he goes, they're just yelling at each other, you know, saying stupid things. And he goes, let's go fight, man. Let's go out there. Come on. I got bail money. N-word. Wow. And I was like, he wasn't black. That's all. He was white.
That's,
and that got everybody's attention in the section. We were like, whoa. And then we turn around and we're like, double whoa, bro. You can't say that.
That is.
And I was insane. Like 99% sure somebody was going to swing on him for that. And I was like waiting for it. I'm like, first of all, like, dog, you cannot say that word. And to confidently say it in a public space, that is crazy. And I was like, somebody's getting up and swinging on him for sure. Like,
or at least making a scene about it.
Or making a scene, yeah. And no. And then security came back for him without being called. They knew and saw him.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the easiest ejection I've ever seen. He literally gets to the end of the security's like, he's like, I'm coming. And then he gets to the end of the row and he just like, walks up the stairs and he's like, I know where to go. I'm out. Bye. And I'm like, security was like, I was like, easiest fan ejection you've probably ever had in your whole job. So
yeah, I've never understood fans who go on like to purposely drink to the point where they embarrass themselves.
Dog, I can't even get to that point of the game. Like, I don't have enough time.
Yeah.
Like, the only way I could do it is if I'd like forced myself to, like, it would take me at least 7 beers to get that stupid and drunk, and I'd have to force myself to do that in like 3 innings. Yeah, like throughout a whole game, there's no way I could walk away that messed up.
And then plus you would think that the employees working behind the stands would recognize you after going so many times and thinking,
yeah,
hey, we're gonna cut you off.
Yeah,
of course, obviously they get recognized that that's wherever concession, move to another one where they've never seen you. I don't get it. Like, you spend your hard-earned money, you go to a game, you pay for parking, or if you obviously did public transportation, you take time out of your own day or night to go to a game just to, like, make a fool out,
like,
out of
yourself. Like, not the vulgar.
I don't get it.
Not the vulgar part, but I get being amped up and trash-talking when it calls for it, when there's a home run, when there's a lead change, when something exciting happens. These dudes were going at it on, like, a 1-0 count. Nobody's on base. Nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Like, I did it at the Dodger game, dude. And when we scored, I went up to fellow Angel fans. I'm like, let's go.
You did it respectfully, though.
Yeah. I'm not getting in Dodger fans' faces and go, stupid L. Like, I ain't doing that. Yeah. Like, I'm hyping up my boys, my team. And if you're going to trash talk me, I got words for you back. I gave them back to the guy that told me we had a sucky lineup or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you're dishing it. Like, I'll sit here and dish it with you. I ain't going to fight you. I've never been in a fight in my life. I preferred, like, hey, we can talk. I ain't going to swing. There's no point. Who wins coming out of that?
Exactly. And it's not even worth it.
Yeah.
It's not. Because then not only is he going to get ejected, you're going to get ejected. And then it was just a waste of a day or a waste of a night. Add money, time, everything.
I'll tell you what wasn't a waste. All the stadium trips I've done in my life. So I am going to Sacramento. We know this. I know that wasn't one that was planned for a stadium to check off. But, you know, the A's and the situation they're in, I'm like, I'm going to go see it in their temporary 3 years. And that leaves me with where next for stadium trips. I have 27. You have how many?
I think I have 10.
So I'll say where I want to go next out of the ones I have left, and you tell me. So I really want to go to DC Baltimore. It's two of them, but it's very possible to do both of them. Hopefully I can get that done this year. I think that might be an end of season kind of thing. And I just got to find somebody that, you know, is willing to take that trip with me. I have a few people in mind because, you know, it is money. It is time. And I got to find the right person for that, that, you know, is willing to commit. Because that's a trip I'd want to do with somebody. I don't want to. I've done trips alone. I did St. Louis alone. I did Colorado alone. But that's one I'd rather have a homie with me to do both stadiums. And what about you?
You know, there are some stadiums that I do have off my bucket list. Obviously, I want to go to all 30 at one point or at some time, yeah, complete that all. But one that I really want to go to is Atlanta. I want to go to Truist Park. Dope. Yeah, I want to go to Truist Park. I obviously want to see Ronald Acuña play in that stadium.
Oh, yeah, don't go now.
Yeah, not now. Matt Olson. Maybe in like
2 weeks.
Exactly.
He's already rehabbing.
Matt Olson. Yeah. Obviously, Austin Riley. They got a great franchise. They got they a do. Young core until like what is it, like 2028, 29? Until yeah, like
they have the, a lot the of first their team bunch. On contracts.
Exactly.
Good on them.
Yeah, I definitely yeah. want to see. And plus the All-Star game. I'm not going to the All-Star game, but, you know, it'd be nice to go see yeah. Truist Park. You know, you've been there. The, yeah. the fountains out there in center, yep. the Chop House in right.
Yep.
Short bullpen
highly,
wall.
Highly. I've done multiple stadium tours, like before a game, like when there's nothing going on. Highly recommend the Braves Truist Park one. They show you a lot of cool things. They show you under the chop. They show you above the chop. They show you Hank Aaron's record-breaking bat because he felt it belonged to the Braves more than it did the MLB Hall of Fame. Mm. So it is there at the stadium. And it's just a really cool stadium to take a tour of. Like, I've done Kansas City's, too. Kansas City has an okay tour. But, like, Atlanta had one that I was like, I'd recommend people doing that one.
Plus, I want to sit where you and Art's at the very top behind home plate. Remember you said you went to the very top before the game started, and then you said the security came and asked for your tickets.
Asked for my ticket in the last row of top deck nosebleeds.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you serious, bro? I was like, buddy, we have better seats than this.
And if anything, if you wanted to, you could probably buy those tickets.
Yeah.
Right then and there.
I was like, dog, we are sitting in right field next to the fountain. Please. I was like... yeah, that was hilarious. I'm like, you're really ticket checking me all the way up here? And it was probably 40 minutes before game time. I was like, you're crazy.
I know. Dude.
But yeah, that one's a dope stadium. And the other two that I have left is Minnesota and Cincinnati. Cincinnati looks like it could happen next month. I'm not going to give you guys 100% confirmation on that. Nothing's bought yet. But there is a conversation. There is a person. And the details of it all look very good. So hopefully... that ball rolls, and I will be in Cincinnati the end of June. That's when it would happen. I'm not going to say anything is confirmed because it's not, and it could fall through. I hope it doesn't. I really want to go. So, yeah, there you go. Cincinnati looking possible. And for the final conversation of today, NFL rookies. I went to the NFL Panini rookie photo shoot with Tony Todd, and thank you very much, Tony, for inviting me and letting me be a part of that. Thank you, Panini, and everybody there for giving me access. And we met tons of rookies from this draft class, something Tony has done before. He was there when Russell Wilson was in a rookie class with, like, Ryan Tannehill, Brock Osweiler, all those guys, Duck Martin. And he was like, we should go do it again. I'll text somebody and see what we can do. So we got in the fan zone, which... was cool. We obviously met a lot of people. We got experiences. Tony was telling me, he's like, man, in the past, I wasn't in no fan zone. I was out there on the field walking around doing whatever I wanted. And I was like, well, I wish we were doing that. But it was still cool. It was still cool. And the only thing was, like, when Tony in the past, like he was telling me about, he could just walk up to them and just, hey, man, how you doing? And the lady who hooked us up for these ones told us, if they come up to you, you can talk to them. And I was like, all right.
How the times have changed.
Yeah. Well, he just, it used to be a Topps thing. Now it's a Panini thing.
That, okay.
He knew more like a higher up at Topps when it was Topps. And now Panini, he doesn't know somebody on that level.
But Topps football may be coming back. You know, the what is it? The the contract between Panini and the NFL is expiring. Not in maybe a couple years. So if Fanatics decides to throw in a bid, Topps and NFL could be back together again.
Okay. Well, let me break down what happened that day. They had a red carpet rolled out for us to walk to this fan zone.
Okay.
And the first person that I remember talking to was Tyler Shough. He plays for the Saints. He's quarterback. And he was very cool, very fun. And he participated in what Tony and I were hoping to do with a lot more quarterbacks. But like I said, it was on them to come up to us. So we didn't I think we only did it with him.
Tony, how did that work, by the way? Like, are you just standing there?
So it's a roped off area on the field, but there were two stations. There were stations that all the rookies had to go through. So there was like a huge empty part of the football field where they would just like run through motions. Like a quarterback would drop back and throw a pass. A receiver would catch a pass. And I think they were taking action shots of them.
Okay.
So there was that. There was a giant LED wall with like Panini logos and stuff like that going around, and they would just like in front of it and shit like that.
Okay.
So photos like that. And then they had the ones that were right next to us, Kay Adams interviewing all of them from one side. It was a wall. So on this side of the wall was Kay Adams interviewing them. Then they'd go around to this side of the wall and they would answer questions, you know, like just have fun content questions ready for them and do B-roll over there. So like they would just say, point at the camera, okay, throw the ball around, or if they had a teammate with them, like, hey, like grab the shoulder pads or something like that. And those two stations were right in front of us, so whenever they came to those stations, it was like that was our best shot. Oh, and they had a throwing station to like hit like targets, nets and stuff.
Okay.
And that was our zone was here. The throwing thing was here, and the Kay Adams B-roll thing was here. So whenever they came around that area, that was our best chance. And we wanted to do the QB challenge, is what Tony calls it. He can spin a football on his finger for if he gets it good, he can spin it for like a minute long.
I'm not kidding. I saw the the staying overnight at the basketball thing.
Yeah, but he can do it with a football too, and. I've been told by Art told me when he saw that video, and somebody else told me that it's B at the game you're referring to, Pig, that we played. Tony beat me in Pig because he can spin a ball on his finger forever, and I can't. Art told me that's BS. He's like, I watched the video, that's bullshit. And so then I told Tony there at the rookie thing, hey, my friend watched, I said, that's bullshit, Tony. And then two guys that we met there were like my age. We said, hey, here's what happened. Here's how he beat me. And the two guys go, oh, you can't do that. That's bullshit, man. To Tony's face. And I was like, yeah.
Oh, man.
I was like, take that, man. I was like, you only beat me because every single time you spun the ball.
Yeah.
That, and then you claimed it was a letter every time. And they told him right to his face. And I was like, ha.
So what you're saying is we need a rematch.
Yeah. I think I would have beat him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, we talked with Tyler Shough. He was the first show. Shough. It's one of those. He was the first person we talked to, and he did spin the ball with Tony. And so we were like, okay, good start. Didn't get anybody else the rest of the day to do it. But, yeah, so he was really nice. He was cool. He was talking to Tony about his football because the one Tony brought is super flat. Like, if you squished it, you could have made both of the ends touch each other, like that flat.
So the flake gate.
Yeah, and they had all these, like, pro balls off to the side. And he's like, just toss me one of those. So then they did it with that. Tony still spun it forever. So that was the first guy we met. And that was all going down while Travis Hunter was doing the Kay Adams B-roll interview stuff.
Okay.
And so he's right behind this Saints quarterback. And I'm like, oh, damn. Like, Travis Hunter's right there. And he is one of two people who had a bodyguard with him. Do you know who the other one was?
Shador?
Yep. And so I tried to get a photo with Travis, and I already told you the story.
Yeah, you did,
You came up with a very witty comeback that I wish I would have said. This happened after Travis came out a second time, and he was walking away to an exit all by himself with his security guard. No other fans were noticing. Nobody was following. So I walk over, and I'm like, hey, Travis, can I get a photo? Travis looks. He looks at me. Doesn't even open his mouth. His bodyguard goes, we got to go over there for a sec, man. And then what'd you tell me I should have said?
I told you, I was like, if he responded when you called Travis,
yeah,
he responds, You should have been like, I didn't know your name was Travis Hunter too.
That's crazy. There's two of you? But yeah.
But good thing you didn't say that, because who knows what would have happened.
Yeah, yeah. I would have been like, hey, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. But yeah, so Travis, he did briefly say something to Tony, because Tony knew his defensive coordinator from high school.
Okay.
And he said his name, and then he was just like, hey, let me get a question with you later. Never came back from that question. Then these other guys, I listed them in order of like, hey, that was really cool. Jalen Milroe, Seahawks future quarterback. I'm so excited we have him. A lot of people know him, played in Alabama. He's used to that big football, big crowd kind of atmosphere. And he finished that net throwing drill. And Tony, like, I love Tony. So grateful for all the opportunities he's done for me. But when we take each other's photos, we take each other's photos.
Okay.
And there's a lot of times where Tony drifts and talks to, you know, he makes friends with everybody. So Jalen Milroe's walking after finishing the net drill. I'm like, hey, Jalen, can I get a photo? And he's like, he looks at me. Yeah, yeah. And I turn around to, like, you know, have Tony take the photo. He's across the freaking fan zone talking to somebody. So I asked these other guys we made a friends with, can you take it? As I'm turning around, I turn back around, he's already interviewing with Kay Adams.
That's
but Tony always comes up clutch. He always, you know, gets it done. And so he asked one of his friends who had field access, one of the workers, hey, tell Jalen the guy from Black Panther wants to talk to him.
Oh my God. That's as clickbait as it gets.
It always works. It always works.
That's so clickbait.
They took a group photo, like all the rookies. And hey, I'll say this, because Tony told his friend, another guy who found out I was a Seahawks fan said he'll get them for me. My guy didn't do shit. He never got near him. Tony's guy, as soon as they got that group photo, I saw him go up to Jalen Milroe, points like where we are, and he got him to come over. And I'm like, hey, tell your – his name's Dexter. I'll shout him out. Dexter, real one. And I told Tony, I said, Dexter's a real one. He told you he would do it, and he did it. This dude, look, I don't know him, but this dude told me he'd get him. He didn't get him. He never even got near him. And so I was like, tell Dexter he's a real one for sure. So he came over. We took a picture. Tony hyped me up. He's like, he's a huge Seahawks fan. He's so excited to meet you, blah, blah, blah. And so we took our photo. I got to interview him with one question. And then these other guys, a lot of the people in the fan zone were card shop owners, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked him what's like some favorite packs he's opened. And he said WWE. And I wasn't paying attention. But I heard him say that. I was like, whoa. You know WWE? Hold up.
Kind of like that dog who's just like minding his own business, and then he hears like walk or
literally treat. Yeah.
And then he just turns around.
And I heard that, and I was like, oh, no way. And then they asked him who was his favorite growing up. He's just like me, bro. John Cena and Jeff Hardy. And then I told him, did you see 17? And he goes, hell yeah, man. I loved it. And then
17th championship, by the way.
17th championship.
For John Cena.
For John Cena. And he's like, yeah, I loved it. Dude, I was there. And he's like, oh, you were? That's so cool. He's like, my homie Jahmyr Gibbs was there. I was like, hey, yeah, I know. I saw him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, technically, if you think about it, we were there together.
Yeah.
Just not sitting together.
Yeah, we were all there together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, you know, a couple hundred feet away.
Yeah, so it was really cool. Definitely W personality, and definitely going to be a favorite of mine, rooting for him and his success. And then another guy we drafted, Elijah Arroyo, tight end, saw him. And I was like, I think this one line is the one that got him. He was going to keep doing all his, you know, stuff he needed to do. And I said, hey, Elijah, can a Seahawks fan get a photo? And he was like, oh, okay. All right. And then he came over and I was like, hey, man, go Hawks, man. Happy to have you. And took our photo with him. And then Shador, got to give it up to Shador. Props to Shador. He took photos with everybody in the fan zone, which I was not expecting. Has a bodyguard. He's definitely one of the most popular guys that was there. All the eyes on him. So I thought for sure he was just not even going to take photos. Took them with every single person. Really nice. I don't know what he was doing, but the entire time he was out there and he wasn't doing one of his commitments, he had his phone like this the whole time, looking at it like he was watching a YouTube video or something. I think he was streaming.
How to throw a football.
Tutorial.
Just like Jason Tatum, how to tie a tie.
Yeah. So I think he was streaming. I didn't know he streamed. And then like a couple days after, I found out he streams. And I was like, oh, maybe he was reading chat and somebody was filming him.
Yeah.
And so I have no idea. But yeah, he had his phone. And like he'd do his commitment. As soon as he wrapped up, bodyguard hands him his phone. He's on his phone. He's like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. And I'm like, what's this guy watching, dude? What is this guy so dedicated to?
Probably watching Kaisen Ad or, I don't know, Asian or another Phantom. Streamer,
Pokimane.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was really cool. Very chill.
Mm-hmm.
And then Isaac Tesla.
Tesla. The company.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he invented the car.
Okay.
He
makes sense.
Took an interview with me, which was really cool.
Nice.
He was the only other person besides Jalen Milroe that I was able to talk to. He plays for the Lions, wide receiver, white. So I'm rooting for you, buddy, because I know it doesn't happen very often. You're going to have to put in a lot of hard work. How many are there? Adam Thielen?
Adam Pearsall?
Adam Pearsall. Are they all named Adam? but... Yeah, Wes Welker back in the day, Julian Edelman back in the day, Danny Amendola back in the day.
I'm trying to think. I can't think.
Hey, praying for you. You're going to make it out there. But yeah, he was really cool. And then this guy, I know he was one of the top picks in the draft this year. Sorry if I butcher the name. Tataroa McMillan, the wide receiver the Panthers took. He was super dope. I asked him if I could interview him. He's like, I got a lot of things to do right now, man. And I was like, can I take a photo? He's like, yeah. I was like, all right. So we took the photo, and that was about it with him. Another guy that I got a shout out, say he was one of the best guys there, Travion Henderson, running back, Patriots. He was super dope. He was really nice. He was having conversations with everybody. He opened packs with people right there. He pulled a teammate's patch auto out of a pack.
Patch auto. Wow.
I don't remember who it was because I wasn't the one doing, like, I didn't give him the pack. I didn't.
You just saw it from a distance.
I was behind. I filmed it. Like, oh, okay. I did zoom in on it and everything. I didn't see who it was, but I saw, hey, that's a Patriot. And he's a Patriot. Pretty cool. And so, yeah, he was really nice. Jadon Blue, Dallas running back. He took a photo with him. Very short. He was cool. Jaden Higgins. He plays for the Texans, wide receiver. He was also very dope, very cool. He let us hold his helmet. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Nice. Hey, look at this thing.
look at this thing.
he's tall. Yeah, I'm 6'2". He had to have been like 6'5", probably. And then finally, Kay Adams. You look like you're...
I think it's Ricky Pearsall, now that I think about it.
This guy?
It's not Adam Pearsall. It's Ricky Pearsall.
It could be. I don't know. Oh, the 49ers wide receiver.
Yeah.
Yes, it's Ricky Pearsall.
Who are you referring to when
Adam Pearce on the... Or no, that's the Raw General Manager. No, there's a wide receiver on the Colts whose name is also Adam Pearce, right?
I don't know. That's not my favorite team. That's your team.
Dog. Hold on.
I'm not
white gonna... wide receiver, Colts.
I know there was probably one person.
No, there is. There's a white wide receiver on the Colts. What's his name? Number 14. What's his name? Oh, my God. I have it right here. His picture and everything. Number 14 on the Colts, wide receiver. It is Alec Pierce.
Alec Pierce. Yeah, Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah. Alec Pierce.
Dude, that's what I was thinking. Well, you were going over like the...
This guy wasn't even... He's racking his brain. Did I say it right?
Yeah, I know. You know, there has to have been a couple of viewers that are like, it's Ricky Pierce. How did you get Adam? I'm like, yeah. I corrected myself.
Speaking of that, they would bring us packs in this fan zone.
Mm-hmm.
Just they would literally... They're like... I don't even know what they're called. Like long cardboard holders. And they'd put them on the tables. There were six tables. They'd put them on there and just...
Oh, the boxes were like...
Yeah.
Like he's... Okay, yeah. I know
and
what you're talking
they
about.
Were full of packs. And, you know, there were those, like, little thin ones that, like, nobody ever wants.
No, of course not.
I don't think
not.
Anybody ever opened them. I think
of course not.
But then there was these packs called Illusions.
I've heard
which
of that
I looked at that pack and I was like, that looks like a good pack. And what I loved, it was so easy to tell where the hits were. They were thicker than the other Illusions packs. I'm like, there's something in there. A patch auto. I'm taking those ones. So I pulled a good amount. I pulled... You made me think of it. Ricky Pearsall autograph. That was the first one I got. Then I also have Dante Culpepper and J.J. McCarthy double patch auto.
Oh, that's cool.
Or not auto. Sorry, not auto. Just double patch. Relic. Double patch. And then there's one more. Who is it? I'm blanking.
Didn't you also pull a canine?
A regular card.
Yeah, but from card. On a blaster.
From that one, oh, right okay. there. Donruss.
Yeah.
Dude, my last one is a Panther. I can't remember his name, but I have a patch of him as well.
What's his name? Westbrook?
No.
Hicks? No. Or Hikes?
I don't know. But Tony also opened some. Tony got better than me, I would think. Patch Josh Allen and autograph Tua Tagovailoa.
Wow.
Which he already screwed that card up. There's no value in that one. God. Left upper corner, bent. Jesus. And I was like, well, that card just lost its value.
Well, it was just funny, too, because like, I feel like for that generation of Tony, like they loved the cars back in the day. Mm. They take care of it. It's clean. Mm. It's nice. Valuable card? Ding.
That's how I felt. Yeah, but... Yeah, it was amazing. And then I remember they brought out a whole new stack of illusions.
Ooh.
And just like 10 of them stacked up. So I was like, oh, let me find a thick one. And before I can even grab one, some dude, like people in the card hobby, bro, it's half people who love sports.
Collectors.
And half people who are weirdos that take it too seriously.
Oh, God.
They put those 10 packs on the table. I just want to grab one.
One.
And he puts his hand over all 10 and takes them.
All of them.
All of them.
That is insane.
And I'm like, all right. As I'm reaching for one, too. And I'm like.
Did you at least confront him? I would have at least.
I had already opened like 20. And I'm like, but I was like, okay. Whatever.
Yeah, I definitely would have confronted the guy. I'm like, hey, those are for everybody, not just for one.
Yeah.
Like I said, because, you know, you're right. Half of them are those who are true collectors, love the game, love the sport. And of course. You know, with cards, you know, and then there are those who...
Obsessed weirdos, I would say.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and then, of course, those who try to turn a quick profit, don't really care about it. But, you know, back to the, you know, point at hand. Yeah, dude, that was insane. Yeah. But I did want to ask you, were you, like, one of the first people to catch on, like, I don't want the thin ones. I want the thick ones.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody... I mean, they're all card shop owners. Mm. They had to have known. Because Tony saw me pull my hit, and people found out that he was in a little big league and everything. They're like, oh, can you film a pack for our IG story and all that stuff? And he's like, somebody give me a good one. And he was like, he had a thin one. And I'm like, Tony, wait, dude, I've been trying to tell you. Let me get you a pack. Hold on. So I went to one, and I was like, this one. Tony, open that one. And it had the Tua auto.
Wow.
And I was like, told you, dude, you can tell. Like, there's some packs in the hobby where it's a dead giveaway. Like,
did he happen to have his thumb over the autograph by any chance?
No, I remember what you're talking about. At the bullpen, me and him were opening live, and Tony, every card. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, what was it?
I was cringing.
What was it?
The Panini? Don Mattingly auto.
What, yeah. It was a Panini Prism baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, Tony. These are for other people. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he got that. And the last person that I met, not a football player, and I was surprised to see her there, didn't know she was going to be there, but I immediately recognized her, and I was like, oh, shit, that's Kay Adams.
Yeah, you mentioned her earlier. Yeah. And tell the people who she is for those who don't know.
She's a sports personality, okay. I guess. She doesn't do YouTube or content or anything, but she's on – her own show, Up and Adams. She always is interviewing athletes. Yeah, it is a good name. And she's always interviewing athletes. So I think she's just a personality in the sports space, mainly basketball and baseball. Or, sorry, football. I've never seen her around baseball. But basketball and football, she's around all the time. And she would always come through the fan zone to go to her little interview area.
Right.
So one of the times she stepped over the rope, I was like, okay, can we get a photo? And she goes, oh, yeah, one sec. And went away, never came back. Or, walked around to go back to her station. And I was like, damn, I hope she's not, you know, like a person you meet where you're like, well, that was a shitty interaction. And so then later, the other guys that were like my age were like, oh, shit, that's Kay Adams. And I'm like, yeah, I asked her for a photo. She told me one second. She never came back.
1 second. It's been like 2.5 hours.
Yeah. But then he's like, oh, she's leaving again. Let's see if she'll take a photo because now it's like in the more secluded area. So we walk up, we're like, hey, kid, can we take a photo? And everything that I thought was immediately erased. She was like, oh, it's your guys' first time. Oh, my God, it's mine, too. Oh, what are your favorite teams? Who do you want to see today? Like, and was having a conversation with us and taking photos. And, yeah, she was really nice. And she was like, I'm so excited about this year's class. I don't know why I'm really nervous. They're all, like, super confident, and they're all saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. They're all, like, there's something different about this class. And, yeah, they're all really nice and really cool. And, yeah, and so, like, she was, like, having, like, we were chatting. Like, she was a friend or something. It was really cool. So she's really nice. So WK Adams.
Did you get that picture?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
And very short.
And yeah.
You know me, I'm 6'2". So it's a funny looking photo, but yeah, got the photo and turned from what I thought was going to be a bad interaction into a very good interaction. So WK Adams and W Off the Field Podcast, ladies and gentlemen, that reaches the end for us. Thank you for, being okay with that week off. I know we've been a little off with the posting lately, and I know we'll be off again this week. At least there's an episode. Okay. But it's just a lot of work for me to get done this week. And obviously you guys know, I mentioned with my grandpa last week, needed some time. And I know there's other weeks where, like, WrestleMania and everything, it's been a busy year. So we're getting them out. We're doing our best. And thank you for listening. 7 a.m. You can get the podcast audio version on Thursdays, Apple and Spotify.
You can get the YouTube video version of the podcast Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
And 9 a.m. Mountain Time.
9 a.m. Mountain Time.
All right. That's all. Like,
wait, no. I think it's 9 a.m. Central.
Central Time.
8 a.m. Mountain Time.
Yeah. Like the video and all that good stuff. Subscribe here to Off the Field. Subscribe to Austin Kleschka, my main channel. And follow us on Instagram, the podcast, our personals, everything. And we will see you in episode 109.